Welcome on in. Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin, except it's not Jonathan Peterlin. It is Spencer German with you, 92 through the fan, 7 to 11. I'll be hanging out with you, talking sports, talking other things. Nick Wilson apparently led you astray. I don't know if you can any longer trust Nick Wilson and anything that he says when he tries to promote what's coming on after his show and he tells you, oh yeah, we got Browns content. Well, we are going to talk Browns, so I guess there is Browns content, but it is not the Browns content that he was alluding to. I am very much not Kevin Stefanski, and this is very much not the Kevin Stefanski show. I can pretend to be Kevin Stefanski if you guys want. I can give you 4 hours of just answering questions in the most robotic way possible and repeating myself 30 times. If you guys want to call in with questions, and I'll just say, we're taking it one day at a time, and I need to be better, and you need to be better, and we all need to be better, and things like that, and we can see how long it takes us to burn 4 hours. But I'm guessing that would not be very entertaining, so we're actually not going to do that. We're going to have some fun today. 216-474-0092, again, with you till 11 o'clock. We got Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, set to join us, as always, on a Tuesday night around 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, an hour after that, a good friend, somebody who I admire and I appreciate his eye for football, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, going to join us to talk about everything he saw in the Ravens game, how much of it is replicable for the Browns moving forward, all those sorts of things, because it was a good performance, and it was a performance that was, offensively at least, the best we've seen this season. And it kind of changes the math on where the Browns maybe now go from here. And that is where I want to start with you guys tonight because, listen, at 2-6, I understand, like, we're all excited about Sunday's win. I said it on Sunday, like, I wondered if there was going to be some Jim Donovan magic in the air, and there 100% was just that. The dropped interception by Kyle Hamilton on the final drive, like that type of stuff, it's just too eerie to deny that there was, you know, that Jim Donovan from above wasn't leaving some sort of imprint on that game and willing the Browns to victory, and they were able to pull it off. And it is an impressive win. There's no denying that. You beat the hottest team in football, arguably the best team in football at that time, in the Baltimore Ravens, a division rival. That can be a momentum-setting win. And it certainly is going to raise some eyebrows and get people sort of, you know, paying more attention to you. So there's something to be said for pulling that one off. I don't know, though, that it changes the math, like, resoundingly on this team in terms of what the goals should be for them for the rest of the season. And I understand, like, I'm saying this understanding that it's not an easy thing to balance, and I'll explain why here in a second. But sitting here today on October 29th, if I was the GM of the Cleveland Browns, I know what I'm doing. I am fielding calls, I am listening to offers, and I understand, like, maybe you're not going to settle for anything of lesser value. Like, you're going to have your price, and you're going to seek that out. But if somebody starts calling on Za'Darius Smith and you think that the value's there for what you can get for him, I think you absolutely would make a trade. If somebody's calling about Greg Newsome, same thing. Maybe that's a lesser important one for some people. I know he's kind of a controversial player in terms of how people feel about him and his play and whatever. Really just his play more than anything. But I understand why there's people who have wanted him gone for a while. So maybe that's not going to net you what you want or whatever, but, okay. The other one on this though is Jameis Winston. Like, if someone's calling about Jameis Winston, I'm not taking something of lesser value, but if it's the right price, if it's the right value, if someone's offering you what you're looking for, I would make that trade because at 2-6, and this is the problem. This is the problem right now. The margin of error for error is so razor thin at this point because you've put yourself in such a hole that, yeah, I love being able to subscribe to this idea of, well, hey, what if? Or, you know what? I'll do you one better. Joel Bitonio, after that game in the locker room, he brought up that a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a week ago or whatever, they had watched something on the 2004 Boston Red Sox, a team that I hold near and dear to my heart, as I'm sure you guys are well aware. And the fact that they were down 3-0 in a series, came back, and he quoted Kevin Millar that series. And if you go back and watch any of like the documentaries on that team, there's his quote going into game four where he's like, don't let us win the night. Don't let us get one. And he brought that exact quote up and said, don't let us get one. There is something fun and magical about the idea that this win on Sunday could be the start of something. It could be the start of a magical run to the back to the playoffs that the Browns have been hoping for. I agree with that. And that's what makes sports fun, is that you can almost find hope around every turn. There is always a way to talk yourself into believing that your team is going to do something. Your team is going to pull something off. I mean, there's Jets fans out there still thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to turn it on at some point and they're going to still be a great team. There's, maybe Panthers fans don't have a lot to be hopeful for. I don't know. But there's a lot of bad teams out there that find hope in random things to just feel good about something. And it's I will say, like, that win came, couldn't have come at a better time. Because at 1-6 at the time, off of what had transpired the week before, where you had some fans who cheered when Deshaun Watson got hurt, and there was this clear divide, this clear chasm, I know how to say that correctly now, between the fans and the players. Like, yeah, they needed a win to sort of stop the bleeding, pick up spirits, get everybody back together on the same page again. And so that feels good. And there is reason for hope here, to feel like, man, what if they pull off the improbable, or the what you imagine would be impossible here? They make a run and they end up back in the playoffs. And truthfully, like I said this on Sunday, the energy in that building from the fans and otherwise was better than we've seen really all season long. And so I think you have a fan base that, even though they know the team has been bad this year, I think through the first 7 weeks of the season, it wasn't just, because listen, these fans, you guys have suffered through bad football seasons. You can live with that. It was living through a bad football season with a quarterback that's controversial that a lot of people didn't really like. And I think it had the excitement around this team truly at like an all-time low. I had never seen this fan base so disinterested and just so lethargic about their favorite football team. It was sad. It was upsetting. I think that changed on Sunday. And you're already hearing it in people's voices and tones. Like people saying, well, what if now, like, this is the start of something? Like, there's just a change about this team where people are excited again about the possibility, the hope that the Browns could somehow pull a rabbit out of a hat and make it back to the playoffs with Jameis Winston, of all people, leading the charge. And so they've given you something to believe in again, which is why I think that win was important. I do. But I am trying to sort of live in reality here. I'm trying to be a realist here and understand what lies ahead, the challenges that await this team beyond just the Chargers game this weekend, and maybe even the Saints game in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, which are two games that feel like they're maybe the most winnable ones left on the schedule. Maybe I don't know. Denver's actually got a better record than the Chargers right now. Maybe Cincy, you feel like, is a game they could win, even though it's on the road, because that team, you always play them well. Same thing with Miami, maybe, although they got Tua back. I don't know. But we know what awaits on the other side. We know that the gauntlet portion of the schedule was always going to be after the bye week. And so, in the reality that we are currently living in, it is going to be highly unlikely that this team makes the playoffs. Now, the Browns have to be careful here because they do have to kind of thread the needle on this. I am just trying to protect against what a win over the Chargers would do on Sunday, and maybe even a win against the Saints after the bye week. Like that almost creates this false sense of security that this team's going to pull off the impossible. Now, what I will say is that does give you, the fans, what you're looking for, which is the idea of meaningful football in December. If you get to a point where you win the next two, you get meaningful football in December without question. And I know that as a fan base, we want nothing more than that. The idea that there's a chance, that there's something to play for that time of year. That's what that's what football season's all about. So we will embrace that. We will look forward to that. But it's not the reality that we live in, that those games are really going to matter as much as we hope they do. And so if I was the GM of this football team, I would 100% be ready to do whatever I needed to do to think about the future of this team. And that's the problem here. I will say this. I don't think that you have to, like, I've been banging the drum. You don't have to blow it all up and just stockpile picks everywhere. I also think there's a way to trade pieces and be sellers without, like this quarterback class, I think right now Shador is probably the guy that's the most coveted. But I don't know that you have to have, like, the number one overall pick. There's not, or like that's 2 years from now. 2026, the year Arch Manning, like, most likely comes out. That's the year where you have, like, a for sure thing that nobody's going to want to miss. That's the year that you need the first round pick. But this year, like, these quarterbacks are going to be great at all over the place from different teams. And so there's one that if you feel good about a couple of them, then there's a chance that, like, you don't need to stockpile picks excessively where you got to, like, have enough first rounders in your stockpile to move up to number one or something like that, unless you really think there's only one that you really want. But I don't think that has to be the case. So you can still, you know, sort of try to win here while also still remaining like a team that's going to be picking in the top 10 and position yourself in a spot where you can still get the quarterback that maybe you're hoping for. But by and large, I don't think this team, given that the margin of error is so thin, and here's the other part of this. I understand Jameis did what Jameis did the other day. Sunday was awesome. It proved that there's still a good team in there and that they can be anyone with a competent offense and the competent quarterback that they had. But let's face it, there's 9 games left, and Jameis is turnover prone. He's not going to get away with everything that he got away with in that game on Sunday. And at some point, he'll cost you a game or two. And the problem is, the Browns don't really have a game or two to give. So I have to live in this world where I understand where people are coming from, where it's like, let's chase this thing, let's do this thing. But if I pick up the phone and people start offering me things that I think are of value, if Jameis becomes, you know, if the price tag on Jameis becomes a point where you're going to get something in return that you think is worth it, I think you do have to pull the trigger. And I think you might have to pull the trigger on a few other players, maybe it's the Darius Smith or others. So it's an interesting situation to be in. And I actually think it does set the stage for a game on Sunday that will basically decide the Browns' fate. 216-474-0092. Are you at a point right now where you're back in on, let's chase the playoffs, let's go all in on this thing and push for those season? Or are you realizing that even though they got another win on Sunday, the reality is this team probably isn't going anywhere, and it's time to start thinking about the 2024 or 2025 rather NFL draft? Because we all know the quarterback situation isn't great. We all know this team's not going to be able to afford certain levels of quarterbacks. If they're trying to get out of the Deshaun Watson business, they're still going to have to pay a bunch of this contract. The only way to pay for the best option for you is going to be drafting one. If that's what you're trying to do, stockpiling picks. You have some other areas you need to address too. Offensive line maybe is a problem. You might have some holes to fill there and other places as well in this roster. Picks is going to be the way to go. I'm still living in that world. I'm not convinced that everything's just going to be fine and they're going to go on some wild run here because they beat the Ravens on Sunday. But I understand why people are talking themselves into that. Which side are you on? And I'll explain why Sunday is the game that's going to decide the Browns' fate here for the rest of the season. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your tweets and more. It's Spencer German with you. In for JP tonight, 92 through the Fan. Welcome back. It's Spencer German with you. I can't let one win change my entire thought process on this team. Like, I understand why that's the fun thing to do as fans of this team. Like, you want to get excited. You want to believe there's some... And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the NFL isn't selling every year football. That's like part of it. They are selling football. We are a football-crazed society. But maybe like half of what they sell is football and half of what they sell is hope. They want storylines that carry throughout the season, and they want fan bases engaged deep into the season. Like, that's the thing that drives the NFL machine at the end of the day. And so I love the idea that the win on Sunday has kind of changed the attitude around this team and made you feel something again and has you back engaged with the team. I think it's awesome. That's what we want out of our sports teams. And maybe it's not just the NFL selling hope, but the NFL certainly, I mean, think about every year. Every year at the start of the season, it's there's these narratives of, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? There's so much hope draped in sports and in the NFL, it's not even funny. And so you got a feeling that some of that was restored on Sunday, and I get why. And I want to believe all that and buy into all that. But I have been matured, is maybe a good word, as a sports fan over the years, where I look at things for what they are. And this, at the end of the day, is still a 2-6 team that still has some flaws and that also needs to start thinking about what things look like beyond 2024, because there are going to be some changes with this roster in different areas across the board. And the quarterback is a big albatross, and that's going to be an issue of it in its own right. But I can't just stand pat because I think there's this modicum of belief within my team that we can pull off something miraculous and pull ourselves out of the depths and somehow become a playoff team again. I get why that's a fun thing to believe in. It's what drives sports, like I said. But I can't go there right now. One win doesn't do enough for me. But here's the thing. If you're going there, I don't blame you for going there, and I see the logic behind it. You got a Chargers team coming in. It's fine. It's a fine Chargers team. And maybe it's a game that you feel like they can win if the offense plays like it did this past week. Then you get a bye week to get yourself healthy. Now you're 3-6. You get a bye week to get yourself healthy and, you know, get off your feet for a little bit. And then you start sort of the home stretch of the season that we know is going to be a gauntlet. Starts with the Saints, which maybe isn't part of that, but then the Steelers are on the other side in a short week. And that's where the gauntlet really begins. So as that kind of plays out here, yeah, you could get to 4-6 and put yourself in an interesting spot. But guys, like to get to where you want to go, you gotta basically you have maybe room to lose one game, maybe two games, and I just don't know that I believe that even with a quarterback like Jameis Winston playing the way he did yesterday, he's gonna lose some of these games because that's just the nature of him as a player, and that's okay. Like, it can still be a fun ride with Jameis if you decide to keep him. I'm not gonna put all my faith in Jameis Winston restoring the season the same way I wasn't putting it in Flacco last year. And I understand, like, Flacco, they had to overcome some mistakes from Flacco late in the season. It was a shorter sample size, and you weren't so far behind the eight ball that you couldn't get yourself in position to be in the playoffs or make that run that they made. This year's a different beast. Because of how you started the season, the chances of making the playoffs are slim to none. And so I know what I would do. I've laid that out to this point. But what I think the Browns are going to do is probably what fans want them to do, which is talk themselves into chasing this idea of the playoffs. And that's actually why I think this week's game, I mean, and you can say this every single week about any game, so it's, you know, it's an arbitrary thing. It's a moving of the goalposts, if you will. But this is the biggest game of the season coming up, because this game could ultimately decide what route the Browns are going to take. If they lose this game on Sunday to the Chargers, I think it is the last sign you need to tell you that it's time to think about selling off pieces and stockpiling draft picks and thinking about 2025 if you win this game on Sunday, then yeah, I do think that the Browns are going to take the route of, all right, let's go and push the envelope here and try to put ourselves in position to get back into this thing and make a run into the playoffs. I think that's what's going to happen. This game is the final measuring stick. Then you got the trade deadline 2 days after it, and that's where things will kind of go down or won't go down based on how you perform on Sunday. So this game becomes the biggest game of the season because it basically is going to decide the Browns' fate, or at least what I think the Browns' fate is going to be. I could argue that even at 3-6, I don't have a lot of hope that they're going to make the playoffs given what the second half of the schedule looks like. But the Browns also have to think about sort of balancing tanking and upsetting people in that locker room and still trying to think about what the future holds in 2025 and beyond. It's a little bit of a fine line there. I can admit that. And they have to sort of try to thread the needle, which is actually why they could also win on Sunday, still trade off some pieces, and just not trade off somebody like Jameis, who they're going to maybe ride this Jameis wave for as long as they can and keep the people of the your constituents, if you will, your players happy, because it still feels like you're chasing something and you're not just throwing in the towel in the season. 216-474-92 on X at @Spencito_KC in Cleveland. What's up, KC?
Yo, so there's a lot going on in this conversation, right? And Spencer, I'm gonna try to sum up a lot of it. So the current state that we in, they're motivated from the victory. Myles Garrett press conference, you heard what he had to say.
Yeah.
James, you heard what he had to say. So they're motivated, all right? Now, as far as big picture, look out for the spoiler alert, right? And when I say that, I mean we got a chance to upset a couple people in our division. Pittsburgh, I don't know how the hell they're getting away with what they're doing, but kudos to them. But
I think, Casey, I think just because they always get away with it. Isn't that like the Mike Tomlin way? They just kind of win ugly and it always works that way?
They're doing their thing, right? So then you got Baltimore and Cincinnati we got to go to. If you can upset those two at their homes, then you guys have done a good job. It's spoiler alert. We still don't know if you can make the playoffs, but if you do those things and you continue to get through these other couple games, we don't know what's going to happen. But, and I'm going to move forward to another quick point. After the spoiler alert, and I'm going to let you digest all of that yourself, Spencer, real quick, because I got to throw a curveball in, and I'm going to hang up. This is really why I got on the phone, because I got to throw a comment in about the Cavs real quick.
Okay.
So, this is, the Cavs are doing great, and LeBron's coming in time. When somebody in the podcast situation, can we get the LeBron Kyrie podcast of what the heck happened and why we couldn't keep winning these championships? If get Kevin Love in there too, I'm out of here. Have a good evening.
Thanks, KC. I think we did kind of get some answers on that. Kyrie's kind of admitted that he was just immature at the time. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to find out, like, the true story if those two sat down together and, like, talked it out and talked about it. But I think Kyrie has kind of capitulated that he just wasn't mature and ready for that situation, and he kind of took it back on some level, which is kind of frustrating to Casey's point that could have kept winning. But I do think we've gotten some clarity on that, but maybe not the full thing. We will talk some Cavs a little bit later. But I understand what Casey is saying. There's a chance to kind of play spoiler, and maybe that's like your motivation the rest of the way, and then you just kind of let the chips fall where they may, and maybe that ends with you actually making the playoffs in the end. Let's go to Chris in Cleveland. What's up, Chris?
Spencer, how you doing this evening?
Pretty good, man. What's up?
Not too bad. Listen, I just want to, in the words of Aaron Rodgers, I think we just need to relax. At the beginning of the season, everybody that was a Browns fan felt as if we was going to have a good season. We just had the wrong person in the most important position at quarterback on our team. We have six losses, but in a season, six losses is not bad. Even if we end up with nine wins throughout the season, I'm satisfied. But I think we'll be okay, man. Right now with Jameis, even though he may throw some interceptions, that's okay. You know what I mean? We're going to be competing, which is different. It's a whole different vibe on this team right now. These guys are catching the balls. They're protecting. The defense is playing a different way. this game that we played last week, even though it was a different game, it played like we thought they were going to play week one. I think we'll be okay. I think right now people are afraid and scared to buy in. Let's just buy in right now. Right now we're at a good opportunity with a good quarterback who has a history in this game. He can read defenses. He can change plays. Let's give him an opportunity. I think we'll be fine, man. Browns, let's go, man. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Chris. Appreciate the call. Listen, Chris's stance, and it's a fair one, is very much draped in the hope of a fan base. And again, I am not begrudging anybody who jumps onto that, latches onto the coattails, rides that wave. I think that's great. That's what the sport is all about. That's what sports in general are all about. So I'm happy that people have found this comfort zone of, you know what, I'm back to believing that this team can achieve something great. I think that's awesome. And it makes the season way more fun if you think there's something still to play for with this team. So fine. But I just can't ignore the situation that the team is currently in. And I do understand, like, yeah, there's a chance they can still dig themselves out of this. And on the season, yes, six losses isn't the end of the world. But their margin for error is just too damn thin. And I don't know that I can I want to go there. I want to just believe. I also think there's some level of the team has to prove it to me first. One game cannot be, if we were sitting here and early on in the season saying, well, let's give Deshaun some more time. Let's give the offense some more time to figure itself out. And we kept trying to be patient for like 4 weeks. And then after 4 weeks, we kind of started to admit, yeah, this offense stinks. What's going on? And then we started calling for maybe a quarterback change and maybe a play caller change. And then all those things happened this week and it all worked out. That's great. But has this team really earned enough of our trust to believe that, like, just because they beat the Ravens, and it was a statement win. I have called it a statement win. Just because they beat the Ravens, now all of a sudden, we should just start feeling good about them again. To use another Red Sox reference, I don't know how many people have seen the movie Fever Pitch, but there's that scene where Jimmy Fallon's at the baseball field, not Fenway Park, like he's like a practice field, and this kid that he's coaching says to him, you know, you love the Red Sox, but have the Red Sox ever loved you back? That's kind of how I feel about this Browns team right now. We all love the Browns. We all want to see them. We all want to see this season come back from the dead and for them to make it exciting and, again, have that meaningful football in December. But have they loved you back enough? Have they earned your trust enough for you to think that that's going to happen just because they made this switch to Jameis? I guess not a switch, but they were forced to make the change to Jameis and they got a new play caller now? I just need to see more. 216-474-0092. James, we'll get to your call. We got some tweets coming in as well I want to get to, including one about the New York Jets being in a comparable situation to the Browns. I find this question pretty interesting. I'll give it to you next here on The Fan. Welcome back in. Spencer German with you here on 92 Through The Fan. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, going to join us here at the top of the hour. We'll pick his brain on the current state of the Cleveland Browns, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, how important this Chargers game is in terms of deciding that fate. Yeah, like I can't think anything other than that this game is basically whatever happens on Sunday, it's either going to convince them that they should keep pushing and try to, you know, make it back in the playoff picture, or that, yeah, they're going to have to be sellers of the deadline. So for that reason, it is the biggest game of the season, in my estimation. 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to your calls here in a second. You know, I was reading through some of the tweets I've been getting during the show, and Alfonso Taylor writes in, are the Jets in a worse or more terrible spot than the Browns right now? It's honestly an interesting question, and the only thing that I think makes it a worse situation for the Browns is the fact that Aaron Rodgers' cap hit the next several years is way less than what Deshaun Watson's is going to be. Like, if he retires after the season, which seems like at this point it's very, very likely that he's gonna retire at the end of the season, they still owe him $49,000. But they can sort of spread that out in a couple different ways. If he's a post-June 6th release, or whatever, however they kind of designate it as like a retiree, then they can spread it out like only 14,000 next year, 35,000 the next year after that. And so like it takes up way less space. So I still think the Browns are probably in a worse spot, but man, oh man, have like the two teams that went all in on pursuing these quarterbacks via free agency in recent years. And obviously Aaron stayed with the Packers the same year that the Browns made the trade for Deshaun. And by the way, Twitter reactions brought to you by Shaibin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He was rumored to be going somewhere that's offseason too, and then he stayed one more year, and then he ends up with the Jets. But so far, like both those big moves, both the moves to acquire these frontline starters from, you know, 3-4 years ago have backfired massively for the two teams that pulled the trigger on them. Which basically, it's a copycat league. And I really, you could lump the Broncos into that too, because the same year that Deshaun got traded is the same year that Russell Wilson got traded. So it's like, it kind of goes to prove that the best way to get a quarterback is to develop one yourself. Maybe Baker Mayfield is the anomaly, right? Where he ends up in Tampa Bay and he's playing some of the best football of his life now. But like all these other instances of, and Baker wasn't a top quarterback when he got sort of moved out of Cleveland. But, you know, all the other instances of, like, top quarterbacks going elsewhere and trying to, like, continue their careers, they've all blown up in the respective team's face. So I still think the Browns are in a worse spot because the money owed to Deshaun and the fact that they haven't really accumulated. Like, and you can look at the Jets roster and you see some, like, tangible young talent on that team. Garrett Wilson, obviously, being one of the most notable. Sauce Gardner being one. Like, they have some legitimate pieces to build around. Cleveland, your pieces are a little bit older. Guys like Myles Garrett who are getting close to 30. Not that you still can't build around him. I've been banging the drum not to trade him. Denzel Ward, who now has a sixth documented concussion of his career. So, yeah, there's just some different – they're in different places. But the Jets, I think, have a younger roster that you can feel good about, even if Aaron Rodgers decides to retire and sort of call it quits. So I think the Jets are still in a better spot to dig themselves out, but man, oh man, are both these teams, like they backfired massively in terms of the moves that they made, the plays that they made to try to get these top flight quarterbacks. Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Cleveland, you're at Mix the Fan. What's up, Jim?
Hey, just wanted to look at the Browns situation and what they're really got in front of them. You know, you're looking at setting the bar high now. So there's no more excuses. You know, you can do it. You beat maybe the top three or fourth team in the NFL and beat them on every level. So there's nothing that you can really come up with an excuse going forward. The defense is playing well, offense is playing, clicking, Chubb is back. And so you've set the – it's like when your son maybe he's not doing well in school, he's getting a D and an F, and they say, hey, you're not going to play football if you're not going to, you know, catch up on your studies and get better grades. He comes back with a B and A or an A, and we know he can do it. So now that's where you're going to be. Anything less than that's going to mean that we have a problem. So I think they're setting the bar high, and they're going to just, if they can do what they did against the Ravens, there's no reason they can't finish out strong. I mean,
yeah. And Jim, like I agree with that. I agree with that statement. I agree with the fact that what we saw on Sunday is winning football. That like that is what wins you football games. It's similar to what we saw last year with the Flacco run and all these different things. So yes, like on the surface, I 100% agree. They can play like they did Sunday and they can win. They also got lucky in some spots on Sunday, and I don't know that they're always going to get those bounces. Like we can't forget that Jameis Winston tried to throw the ball away on that last drive to Kyle Hamilton. We can't forget that on the first series of the game, they get down to the red zone, he almost throws it away in the end zone on an interception. Like, there was moments where he tried to give the game away. So is that winning football? Yes, but it's not at a point where, like, that was football that also allowed you to escape with a win in some ways. It wasn't like you blew him out and you felt like, oh, man, they can steamroll everybody. Like, these games are going to be tight. And often in the NFL, games do come down to being tight and you win in the margins. Those margins aren't always going to go your way, especially when you have somebody like Jameis Winston as your quarterback. And that's not a shot at Jameis Winston. I thought he brought a lot of energy to this team. He clearly did what he needed to do to win that football game on Sunday. He deserves a lot of respect and props for that. And I hope there's more of that in his game here for however long he's in Cleveland. But it's also just the nature of the quarterback that he is, that he's gonna make some mistakes. And in a sport where you win in the margins, those mistakes are probably going to cost him. And they don't have room for quarterback mistakes to cost him at this point because they just have too many losses on their resume. Let's go to James in Bedford and waiting patiently. What's up, James?
How many games did Jameis start for the Browns this year?
How many does he start for the Browns?
Yep.
I mean, sitting here today, I'm just going to say two. But if they win on Sunday, that might be different.
One, and how many do you win? He's 100% there. All right? Man, I'm glad Winston gone. Done with him. Later. Man, my black ass, man, I'm done with his ass. Winston can stay off. I'm done with him.
All right, James. I think he meant Watson. Did I misinterpret what he was saying? He was saying he was done with Winston. I thought he was trying to say he was done with Watson, but I guess maybe he's already over Winston after one game. Maybe the only Browns fan in Cleveland who is done with Jameis Winston at this point, because he is the darling of the team right now as Winston gets the win over the Ravens on Sunday and has sort of restored hope in this fan base and in this organization that they can still make a run. I don't know what was going on with that call. I'm as confused as you. But one thing I'm not confused about is where the Browns are at. This game against the Chargers is definitely the biggest of the year, and it's going to determine like what route they take in the 2 days after, the week after, and sort of beyond. But I am living in reality and in the understanding of where this team is at. But if they win on Sunday, I know there's going to be a lot of people talking themselves even more into the idea that they can come back. It's going to look like Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the cork board. And he's got the yarn linking all the different things to each other of like, well, if they have the bye week and then they get everybody back healthy and they come out that'll be week 11 and they beat the Saints and then all of a sudden you're in a good spot. You're 4-6. You're only two games off of 500. Then you get the Steelers on a short week. Maybe they slip up. Maybe you can win that game. And then you get the Steelers again in a couple weeks. If they can win their division games, they're in a good spot. And it's just people going to connect the dots on trying to get this team back in the playoff picture. It's going to be wild. As I talk about the fan base kind of finding hope again, that's why this game on Sunday also matters, because you get another one. Like, one is cool. One is like, okay, I'm starting to buy into this team again. Two in a row going into a bye week, and you got 2 weeks to basically sell this team as still a playoff contender. People can talk themselves into anything over the course of 2 weeks. Like, people will lock themselves in their own houses and have Stockholm syndrome by the end of it and be convinced that the Browns are a playoff team when they emerge from the bye, because they'll just spend every single day telling themselves it's going to happen. It's like a speaking into existence type moment. Like, it's going to be, that's the type of thing, that's the way you position yourself if you win this game on Sunday, but you got to get there first. And if they do, I do think they will come back, they will come out of that game and they won't be necessarily selling things off on election day at the trade deadline. Like, I think, to be clear, there is a way where you still sell and you sort of thread the needle on being competitive, but also still selling. And maybe that looks like, I don't know, trading Greg Newsom to go back to his name, or trading an Elijah Moore and sort of banking on Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy, and trying to get a few draft picks here or there from different guys, but maybe not giving up Jameis Winston quite yet. And I guess there's also a world where Jameis Winston comes back next year and he is your starting quarterback with Deshaun as a backup, as you kind of still figure out what you want to do at the quarterback position for the future. And maybe that looks like drafting somebody. I don't know. But it's an interesting situation, and Sunday will determine I think, frankly, everything that this team is going to explore come the trade deadline and beyond. Like, what their fate holds, what the fate of the Cleveland Browns in 2024 rests on the outcome of that game on Sunday. Am I wrong? 216-474-0092. We'll ask Daryl Ryder that question. He's our Browns beat reporter and joins us next as we keep the Browns conversation rolling. Also coming up, guys, Donovan Mitchell is keeping receipts. Which side are you on? We'll get to that and much, much more. It's Spencer German with you, filling in for JP tonight, 92.3 The Fan.